Beautiful day. Hope you brought a light jacket. It's a little nippy, but beautiful day. Glad that you are here. Hope that, do you want the Holy Spirit to be with us today? Me too. I want to welcome our live stream audience as well. Glad that you are with us. Let's pray. We'll get started. Father, we do invite your Holy Spirit in this place. We lift high the name of Jesus. May our hearts please you. May our words please you. May our thoughts please you. We are here to worship you. Father, it's not about us. It's about you. We come to worship you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'll sing it.
Lord, review your heart to me.
God, just with thankful hearts that we're in your presence this morning. We take a deep breath and breathe you in, Father. We are not of this world. We are set apart. We are set apart for your good work. And we thank you for that, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Kids, are y'all ready for the children's sermon? Come on down.
I'm so glad you're here. I do want to talk about the branches I brought. I brought two branches. What do we think of these two branches here?
One has leaves.
One has leaves. What are the leaves? Are they nice and good leaves, or are they kind of wilted and sad looking? Wilted and sad looking. And what about this one? Just has branches. You'd almost call it a stick and not even a branch anymore, right? Now, what would happen if I took these two branches and I went outside and I planted both of them by themselves and I watered them and I fed them? Would they come back to life?
No.
No? Why not?
Because they don't have their roots.
There's no roots. They're not attached to the tree anymore. You are absolutely right. In order for these branches to grow and flourish, they must remain attached to the tree. And the longer they're away from the tree, the more they're a stick. So this is exactly what Jesus was telling us in John 15:5. He said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So Jesus is telling us that we are like these branches. If we want to grow and flourish, we need to be attached to Jesus. And by being attached, just like these need to be attached to their tree in order to turn green and leafy, maybe flowers or fruit, they have to stay attached to their tree. We need to stay attached to Jesus just like that so that we can grow and maybe get some pretty flowers and fruit to come from us, and we can just be a very bountiful branch on the tree of Jesus. Because if we don't choose that, if we don't choose to stay attached to Jesus and be a very pretty branch, that's going to mean that we become a stick. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we desire to be with you. So please help us to remember that apart from you, we can do nothing. This I pray in your holy name. Amen.
Well, good morning, church family. Morning. Everybody well this morning? Good to see you. If you're worshiping with us online, good to have you connect with us this morning. If you want to register your attendance through our app, you can do so at some point during this service. You can go ahead and look in the bulletin of upcoming events. Our bingo night is this Wednesday night. Senior Youth Sunday is May the 2nd and Discovery Class May 16th, so you can read about those events in your bulletin. And also, we are in need of some servants that can help us greet. We're meeting in person again. We have bulletins that we can pass out, and so we need to rebuild those teams. If you would like to be involved with that, reach out to myself or Jeff. And here's what being a greeter consists of. You need to be in your greeting spot from 10:10 to 10:35. A smile on your face would be helpful. Greet those that are coming in the door. Open the door. Hand out bulletins. And if somebody looks like a visitor, and those people are usually easy to spot, they look like they're looking around trying to figure out where they need to be, you can direct them to the visitor's welcome center. So that's what the responsibility consists of, and we would love to have you join us for that. And I think that's it. Let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he raised from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. I want to remind you that that word Catholic means universal. So this morning, I want to pray through our prayer list, and that consists of me just mentioning names and presenting them to the Lord. One particular new occurrence, Jackie Cumby is in the hospital. He has a diverticulitis, and his white blood cell count's elevated. That was something that's pretty fresh. Terry Schneider lost his brother-in-law, Stanley, who's also his best friend, latter part of this week. And so be sure to pray for those two needs. Marv Gregory's having his prostate removed on Wednesday, so y'all lift up Marv. And I just want to read through the list that we have on the app. I'm just going to read the names. And it's almost like we're saying, okay, God, we're presenting this person to you. We're presenting this need to you. God, glorify yourself through this situation. Move and touch lives, touch hearts, touch bodies, and heal. So if you want to go ahead and close your eyes, and as I read through these names, if one or two or three resonate with your heart, just begin to intercede for that person, even though you might not know their situation. Lord, we pray for Gerald Wise. We pray for Debbie Mills' sister, Laura. God, we lift up Bobby Johnson to you. The Aiken family, death of Susan's father, for Carol Morton. Lord, I pray for Aaron Taylor, a good pastor in Oregon that's struggling with COVID. Pray for Diane Simmons' death of her husband, for Judy Hobbs, for Linda's mother, Mary, struggling with back pain, for Clay Yonza, for J.D. Dow. Lord, we thank you for restoring Liam McQueen from his vehicle accident. I pray for Pastor Jeff's cousin, Shay, Mike Clark's mother and father. Lift up Doris Parton to you, Lord, for Christy Hooper. Continue to heal her. Lift up Dean Higginbotham, Braden Deaton, Nancy Birch, Bailey Avery's grandmother, for Gail, that's connected to the Mills family, for Linda St. John and Mike Trentham, who are both recovering from knee replacement surgery, for Jackie Murphy, Stephanie Bates, for Brian Deaton, for Beverly Smith's mom. Continue to heal Miller Loudermilk. Lift up Ed Everhart, Jackie Hendon, Michael Hendon, Dina Warren, Jeff Chanel, Terry Balderas, Ann Riling, Ruben Reyes and the family. Pray for Nick, that's connected to the Mills family, struggling with addictions. For Joseph, struggling with confusion and depression. For Krista Bunger. Lord, we thank you that you've relieved her of her pain. And Lord, we ask that you heal her from lung cancer. Continue to heal Ken Keefe. Lift up Connie Hudgens and Austin Tice. And Father, you know full well the situations that are attached to these names. And so, Father, we do just like we present them like it's an offering. Just lay them at your feet and ask you, God, just to touch and encourage and heal Lord, I pray you make a way for these people when it feels like there is no way. Lord, be their strong tower. Lord, be their refuge. Lord, just wrap them up, God. Let them know that they're loved by you. You have not forgotten them. And Father, we will give you the glory for the outcome. And at the same time, Father, we ask you to do something miraculous in the lives of these people. Father, as we continue to meet together as a fellowship, Lord, I pray that you continue to protect us from the virus. And Lord, I'm looking forward to the day where it's totally eradicated from the face of the planet. And Father, we ask for that. I pray for the restoration of lives, for livelihoods. God, what the locusts have devoured, God, would you restore that for your glory? And Father, I just ask, God, that you allow us to encounter you this morning. I know we have a part to play in that. As we press into you, as we seek you, as we worship you. Lord, I just ask, God, that you just give us a glimpse this morning of your goodness. Give us a glimpse of your glory. Just pull the veil back just a little bit where we can see you. Father, I'm convinced there are some people in this room that desperately need a touch from you this day. So, Father, reveal yourself to us. Reveal yourself to those people. Oh, you're such a good, good God. Such a good, good Father. And we thank you for your love, grace, and mercy. And Jesus, we thank you for hanging on a cross for us. We thank you that you are seated right now at the right hand of the Father, your Father, making intercession for us. Jesus, I believe you know how to pray for us. So we want to submit to that. And Holy Spirit, sometimes we don't know how to pray, but you know how we should pray. So help us in that area. And we thank you for opportunities to intercede on behalf of the saints. And we lift up the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Amen. We'll go ahead and have our morning offering. If you have an offering you'd like to bring, and you can do that at this time during this worship set. God bless you.
Let's all stand. Our pastor Jeff was preaching a few Sundays ago, and he started singing, "He paid a debt he did not owe." And I thought, I haven't heard that song in a very, very long time. That'd be a good one to sing, wouldn't it? He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did. good. breath in. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me. Oh, you're wonderful. You're wonderful in your power. You're so holy.
Well, good morning again. Welcome. Glad that you are with us this morning for our guest. I am especially glad that you are here, and I hope you feel the love of Christ in this place and from his people. Many of you in these last few weeks have been missing for a while have started making your way back, and I praise God for that. I'm very thrilled about that. I can't help myself. We have one particular person this morning that I wanted to recognize. Gracie, something happened to Gracie Poor while this year that she hasn't been able to be with us. Has anything exciting happened this year, Gracie? Nothing. Somebody turned 100 years old. Woo! We're glad you're back. It's good to have you back with us. All of you, it's good that you're starting to come back. As I said, if you are our guest, we're especially glad you're here. We've got bulletins again. Yes. And I'm probably jumping the gun, Billy, but I just can't help myself. When school starts back in the fall, we are planning to go to 2 services. Some of you are kind of going, I don't know about that. I think it's time. We've been praying into that for several years, and I think it's time. We're hoping that Sunday school will be back in session, our normal classes, by the school year in the fall, and we're hoping to start. More details will be coming about times and all that stuff, but I wanted to kind of give you a heads up on that. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. These are the words of Christ. John chapter 10, we're going to pick it up in verse 14. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. He's speaking of the Gentiles. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Skipping over to verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we have invited you, and you promise that where two or three are gathered in your name, you will be with us. So we trust through faith that you are here. We ask you now, Holy Spirit, to speak in power and authority. It's the only way you know how to speak. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have ever heard of a thing called the mosquito alarm? Oh, man. Nobody. I get to teach y'all. See the things you learn by coming to church here? I keep telling y'all. You come and I will expand your knowledge. Right? Right, Larry? Mosquito alarm. This was a device that this man invented in 2005, and it started where when you have some sort of a shop, a convenience store, or some kind of a little shop, and people, young people typically gather, and they couldn't run them off, and they kind of loitering around and everything. He created this little device. They call it a mosquito alarm, and it emits this tone at 17. This, some of you technical people will understand this. 17.4 kilohertz, really high pitched noise, and most people have to be under 25 years old to hear this noise. And so for the young people out in the parking lot that they're wanting to scoot out, they just turn on the mosquito alarm and they like get, you know, that's kind of obnoxious. I think we'll go somewhere else and gather. But young people turned it. They created a ringtone. A mosquito alarm ringtone, so that while in class, they've got a teacher in class, it's generally over 25 most of the time, and they can receive texts and the teacher's up there just teaching away and never knows that phone's going off. It's similar, as I was thinking about that, you know, there was a sample. You can Google mosquito alarm. I know some of you are going to do this too. You can Google mosquito alarm, and there is actual a sound clip on the Google site, and you can click on it. And surely, I played it. It's a little 10-second clip. It's like nothing. There was nothing. And Cheryl, we have an oven. This is when the alarm's going off on the oven. She looks at me. She goes, "You don't hear that, do you?" I'm like, "No. I don't hear that." And she goes and turns the alarm off. So I thought, Cheryl's got some, she can catch those high. I took it in there and set it in front of Cheryl, and I turned my volume all the way up, and I played it, and we were both sitting there. I said, "Do you hear that?" "No. I don't hear a thing." I know some of you are going to check this out, aren't you? Let me know what you find out. So it's interesting to me how this high-pitched sound, you have your hearing has to be able to detect that. Well, I'm continuing my sermon series, learning to hear God speak. One of the things that I tell people that if you think that God is being silent, one of the things, he's wanting you to lean in. Our oven at the house, when I can't hear the alarm, I walk in there when I'm a foot from the oven, and I get down there, and I'm like, "Oh, there it is. I can hear it now." That's what God sometimes wants from us. Three ways, today's sermon, three ways to know if it's God's will. Three ways to know if it's God's will. So, you know, doors open in our lives where we have opportunities to walk through certain doors in our lives that are opening. So the question is, how can you tell if the one opening the door is God? Because some doors that open maybe aren't the Lord opening those doors. We have to have a discerning heart, a discerning spirit. With so much noise in our lives, sometimes it's easy to forget what God's voice sounds like. Sometimes it's we have to stop all of the noise and lean in. Just because an opportunity presents itself and just because it looks appealing doesn't necessarily mean it's from God. We have to be discerning. And likewise, just because an open door looks a little uncertain, is this on? That's one, Brent. They have bets now to see how many times I'll do that in the sermon. Just because a door that opens looks a little uncertain doesn't mean you shouldn't walk through it. Sometimes doors that open that look a little uncertain is indeed God. So how do we negotiate this? How do we discern all of this? We're going to talk about three different things this morning. Is this important to anybody, hearing from God? How we hear from Him? All right. If it's God's will, the door that opens, first of all, will never contradict His word. It'll never contradict His word. I honestly have had people, I see all sorts of sin in our life, in our culture, and I have had people come to my office that try to use Scripture to justify sin. I mean, I've had people go, you know, I think the Lord is telling me that that girl at work is probably, you know, I've kind of attracted to her, and I don't really love my wife, and so I've had people tell me that God's kind of telling them to walk through that door, and I'm like, No. All here, 2 Timothy, here's the Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3. All Scripture is God-breathed. I love that phrase. God-inspired is another translation. And it has a purpose. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So if it's useful for to teach us and to rebuke us and to correct us and to train us how to be righteous, it will never lead us into sin. God's word never walks us into sin. So when a door opens, you need to understand that it'll never contradict God's word. And here's the rub with that. Many of us don't know God's word. Hello, number two, Brent. You can't know what God has to say about it if you don't know His word. My sheep, this passage we read today, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. We not only hear His voice, but we follow Him. We do what He says. Sometimes it's difficult. To follow Him when maybe He's telling us something that our flesh is saying, do this. God is saying, no, do this. Sometimes we surrender to the flesh. We like the flesh response better. Last week I talked about, it's interesting, is Lois here today? Lois isn't here today. We've got one of our college students that helps with our youth, and her dad is actually a friend of mine, a pastor, and last week I said that something about if you want to surrender to God, sometimes people are fearful that God may say go to Africa. Guess where Lois has told me after church last week she's going. She's going to Africa. And the other thing I said was, if God tells you to go to Africa, you're going to be excited. You're going to be pumped about that. And guess what? Lois is pumped about that. She can't wait to get on the plane. Some of us are going, not me. But if you're surrendered to God's will, if you're listening for His voice and He tells you to go to Africa, I promise you He will make you excited about it. It'll be a thrilling adventure for you. Okay. God's open door never contradicts His word. Secondly, if it's God's will, the door that opens will be accompanied by confirmation. Accompanied by confirmation. That's one of the reasons why it's so important for us to surround ourselves with godly friends and godly teaching. Again, going back to some of the struggles in marriage that I've had over the years, and sometimes if something has happened in a marriage and let's just use an example. Let's say a husband has been unfaithful to a wife. And you have, if you have friends that don't even really give God a chance to do any kind of healing or reconciliation there, or an opportunity for repentance or any of those things, if you have friends that are saying, I divorce the bomb. First thing out of their mouth, I divorce the bomb. Well, maybe ultimately that's what ultimately might happen, and maybe it needs to happen. But that's certainly not godly counsel right out of the chute. You understand what I'm saying? I've seen too many times that marriages that have had those sort of circumstances, that God has reconciled and has created something brand new. There is a scripture that kind of speaks of this in a different light. I want to read to you, talking about confirmation. Matthew 18, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over, but if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now, this particular scripture is talking about confronting sin, but I believe the same principle applies to us when it comes to confirmation of God's word. When you have two or three people that seem to be confirming, two or three people that are godly people that are in touch with the Lord and listening to the Lord, confirm something, a door that's open for you, I think you need to listen to that. When I was making my transition from the computer world into ministry, my girls were, when I first started that process, they were probably about 10 and 12. And I remember I had a lot of, you know, I had a good career in the computer field, and I walked away from that because Cheryl and I, we had been listening for God's voice for a long time, and we knew that when the time was right, and we knew what we were supposed to do, and we were unified in that, and so we made that decision. Well, so I left this job. Most people in my life thought I had lost my mind. I had some thinking I had was going through a midlife crisis. I used to be at midlife. Did you know that? It was like driving down a highway and it just passed, really like a little town that you just. But anyway, that was a bad joke. So. A lot of people thought I was crazy or was going through a midlife crisis, and I want to, first of all, thank my mom and dad because they supported us. They were there for us. And I remember one night we were tucking the girls into bed, and Jordan was 10 about that time, and I remember, Jordan, you probably don't even remember this, but I do, very powerful for me. And she said, Daddy, what are you going to do now that you aren't working at your other job? And we had not shared any of our plans, those plans, with the girls at that point. And I said, I don't know, sugar, it'll be okay. You know, God's going to take care of us and everything. And she said, I think you need to be a preacher. I mean, I almost passed out. I said, well, what makes you think that I should be a preacher? She said, well, you love Jesus and you love telling people about Jesus. Confirmation. Spoken through my child. Through prayer, discernment, and seeking godly counsel, we ought to be able to confirm that an open door is truly coming from God. If it doesn't contradict God's word and you seem to be getting godly confirmation, maybe that door is God. Maybe he's the one swinging that door open. And finally, if it's God's will, the door that opens will require you to depend on him and will provide you peace. Most of the time, God, I mean, you think about with the disciples, you know, Jesus got these fishermen, you know, they're out there, they're knocking themselves out just trying to make a living, and Jesus walks up and says, drop your nets and follow me. That didn't make sense. That didn't make any sense to them. I'm sure they had some conversations with their wives when they went back to their house. It didn't make sense. But a lot of times when the door opens, that God opens, It requires us to depend on him. And I'm telling you, every time you hear his voice and you respond to his voice, he always provides peace in that decision. And I said last week about the time when through that conversion of going from computer to ministry, where I, out of fear, I took a job at a bank running their computer stuff. And I knew the very first day of work, I knew like there was no peace in that decision. I knew I had responded out of fear. I was not depending on him. And really, there was a lot of chatter in my life, in my world. Good-meaning people that just literally thought I'd lost my ever-loving mind. But I knew that God would take care of us. And I've said this before, but I want to say it again. You guys are the fruit of that, his faithfulness to me and to my family. You guys, you're part of the story. Hebrews says it this way, without faith meaning that you do something when it's not guaranteed, when you don't know what the results are going to be, but you act. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. God, man, he wants good things for you. And even when things, I'm telling you, the first several years of ministry, I wasn't even making half of what I was making in the computer world. Not even half. And didn't have the security of retirement and insurance and all of those things that come in the corporate world. But I'm telling you, I told Cheryl the very first day I stepped in as pastor here, I went home and I said, I feel like I put on a glove that fits for the very first time in my life. And I was 40 years old. He rewards those who earnestly seek him, who trust him. Matthew 6, Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all this other stuff's going to be given to you as well. All the security and the, you know, I mean, it doesn't mean if you take the door God's open that he's going to flood you with all kinds of money and, you know, wealth and everything. But I'm telling you, even when we were struggling financially, I was so blessed and so happy to be walking in his will. You know, he wants us to depend on him, and he will provide us peace. He doesn't give us something that will alienate us from him or make us where we don't need him. An open door from God is the one that allows our faith to be stretched and strengthened. God wants us to be more like him. And if everything is secure and it doesn't take faith to walk into a door where you know it's all covered. As I was thinking through this passage and here listening for God's voice and how he blesses that, I was drawn to the Revelations passage. Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock." So he knocks, but then it shifts to us. If anyone hears my voice, Jesus says, and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. There's this intimacy, this relationship that happens when we hear his voice and we respond to it. God's word. The doors he opens will never contradict his word. We will generally have confirmation from godly people, and it will cause us to depend on him and provide us peace. Just if you bow your heads with me. Father, I'm humbled that you are even mindful of me. You've got the whole universe to run, and yet you love us. You speak to us. We're humbled by that. We are blessed by that. Teach us, Lord. Give us a passion for your word. Help us surround ourselves with godly witness as we seek godly counsel through prayer and discernment. Teach us to trust you. Your word says, O Lord, that you know the plans you have for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us hope and a future. That's your heart for us. Help us to trust that. Pray, God, that we would lean in to your voice. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close with our last song this morning, if you don't know that Jesus, man, he knows you, and he wants you to know him. So I encourage you to come and visit with me. At the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer for our guests. We'd love to meet our guests and have a free gift for you as well. But if Jesus is stirring your heart this morning, come and see me. Let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. Let's rise as we close.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul, worship Your holy name. The sun.
Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. We have a good shepherd. He loves his sheep. Go and tell someone. We're just saying, God bless you.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.